So I'm going to record this for somebody, but I'm going to also upload it. I've talked about this before, but I'm going to try to say this in a way that wherever a person's at, they can understand it. And this is not attacking women at all. If you misinterpret that I'm attacking, you just don't get it. You just don't get it. The types and shadows are printed everywhere. The Holy Writ is written everywhere. It's stained everywhere. So the man and the woman is a type and a shadow. The man and woman is no different than when you look up at the sky and you see night and day. Now, inside the man and inside the woman, there's the same struggle of night and day. The Bible says it's the flesh versus the spirit. When I was married, my wife did something, said something, or something. I said, "What? What are you talking about?" She said, and it kind of made me upset. I said, "Why would you say something like that?" And she said, "That's my flesh," or something like that. And at that time, I thought it was an excuse. And now I look back, and I think it was an excuse, but that I had to think about it for years. Because the reason I think it was an excuse, because she wasn't really saved. She just used the church terminology to justify doing wrong or thinking wrong or saying something wrong. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's a long time ago. But I'll never forget that because she said the truth. But her motivation was a churchianity excuse for acting that way or saying something to try to just play it off instead of dealing with it. And so every man and every woman has the flesh versus the spirit. Your old Adam and your new Adam. Your old Eve and your new Eve. If you don't have the spirit of Christ, you're stuck in the old Eve or the old Adam. It's called the flesh versus the spirit. Now, when you look at a man and a woman, the woman's usually shorter than him. Her body's designed to receive. A lot of times she'll dress her hair up and paint her fingernails and put some high heels on and stuff like that. Now, the high heels, a lot of times she don't know she's doing this, but the reason she's the female, F-E male, she's a piece cut off. The reason she's the woman, W-O man, she's a piece cut off from the man. Even her body points to it. That's why in the slang, they call her shorty. Hey, shorty, this is my shorty. She's a shorter version. She's a piece cut off. So when Eve is a piece cut off from Adam, what does that mean? What does that mean? Even her body, even the sexual organs, it's a shorty. She's a shorty, and she's a receiver, receives. Mother Earth receives seed, right? So the farmer puts seed in the ground, and Mother Earth receives the seed. The man has the seed, and he puts some seed in the womb. The Bible says the womb of the earth. So there's your type and shadow. You got day, and you got night. I'm not attacking the woman. I'm showing you the types and the shadows of creation because it's all a story. So the woman represents the flesh side of Adam, a piece cut off, and she's looking for her man to go back to. Leave and cleave. She's piece cut off. She's trying to find that covering. So a woman likes to be covered. Unless she's a Jezebel or unless she's on the other side, you know. But a woman likes the covering of a man. The woman likes the covering of her dad. The woman likes the covering of her brother. The woman likes the covering of a boss. It makes them feel secure. Why? Because it's a universal pattern that's written in the heavens. It's written in the night and the day. It's written in the flesh versus spirit. It's written in the yin and the yang. It's the flesh versus the spirit. Written. In the book of Galatians, it says the flesh always persecutes the spirit. So we look at Genesis 3. And Eve, the devil whispered to Eve and she went to the dark side. That's why her name is Eve, evening. That's why she has PMS, PM, night. Eve tried to pull Adam down to the dark side. Now, Eve is just a mirror image of Adam, but in a the flesh side. So when they get married, he's looking at himself, but he's looking at the flesh side of himself, the flesh versus the spirit. So when my wife said that, it was probably something I didn't do or did do or something and caused her to do that or something. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 7, don't withhold yourself from one another lest the devil tempt you, right? But also in 1 Corinthians 7, the Bible says it's better for a man not to touch a woman, but nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Why? And it says in 1 Corinthians 11, the woman's made for the man, not the man for the woman. But nevertheless, in the spirit, in Christ, they're the same. Jesus, if that upsets you, listen to this. Jesus even submitted even to the cross, even to the death of the cross, even and submitted to the Father, even though he's equal with God. Jesus is God, but he submitted to the Father. The Son submitted to the Father, and the Holy Spirit points to Jesus. They're all God, but the Holy Spirit points to Jesus. Jesus submitted to the Father, and it's not a bad thing to be submissive. It's not a bad thing to obey authority. You're still equal to authority, but you learn to be submissive. Now, as you learn to be submissive in your natural stuff, so when you're submissive to your dad and then you get married, you're submissive to your husband. But there's bad dads, there's bad husbands. You submit to a boss, there's bad bosses. Eventually, you graduate and you realize that authority is still controlled by God. God can change the authority's heart, whether it's a husband or a dad or whatever. But when you get married, you become adult, you leave your mother and father. I don't care if it's the man or the woman. They're no longer your authority. Somebody else is your authority. Your boss or your new man, whatever woman's listening to this. Your authority is not your mama or your daddy anymore. Your authority is your dad. I mean, your husband or your man or whatever you want to say. I don't really care because it's common law nowadays. People live together for 7 years. They might as well be married. You know, once they go in, Rebecca went into Isaac's tent. They have sex. They're married, period. They didn't even need a ritual. They're married. Whether the law recognizes it or not, once they have sex, they're married. They're one. They're together. So the flesh versus the spirit is typified in the night and the day, the yin and the yang. It's in the sentences that you speak. It's in the words. It's in the letters. It's in the shapes. It's in the green and the red, Cain versus Abel. Cain killed Abel. But it's also signified in your internal, your flesh mind versus your spirit mind. So the battle's going on inside a man. And the battle's going inside a woman. So when you tie into a marriage, automatically, because a lot of people say, why is it when everything's fine when we're dating, but when we get married, we have trouble? Because the flesh versus the spirit kicks in. It's that story. Now, it's built into everything. So if you go down the street and there's this prostitute, she got these high heels. The high heels represent she's trying to hook somebody. She's called a hooker. She's trying to hook the man down. The man, when he's excited to put the woman, he has an erection. It hooks upward. He's trying to pull her up. The erection is a hook upward. The high heels is a hook downward. So in a marriage, if the woman is a piece cut off from the man, now if she's not married, she's single, she's like God is her authority. And it talks about that in 1 Corinthians 7. If a woman stays single, her main thing is to serve God, to stay pure in mind and heart. If a man stays single, his mind is to serve God, to stay pure in heart. But when you get married, you tie to the system, period. When you take a job, you tie to the system. When you get born in this place, you tie to the system. But when you really get married, you're tied to the machine. And it doesn't matter if it's the man or the woman because both are trying to please the other one. But you can never make somebody else happy. They have to be happy in Jesus. But the problem with a marriage is you're so intertwined that you want, and if you love somebody, you want to make them happy, right? You'll never be able to make them happy as Jesus. Most of the time, the reason people have problem in a marriage is because they need Jesus. They don't need the man. The woman doesn't need the man to make her happy. The man doesn't need the woman to make him happy. But when you tie into a marriage, it drops you back down to three dimensions. So you can be walking in the spirit fine. You're going about your business and your wife, your woman, whatever, if you're together, I still call it, if you're having sex with the woman, I still call her your wife, because y'all might as well be married. You're just rebellious against, you're just scared. If you really are having sex with a woman, or if the woman's having, it's really not, and you're not willing to commit, it's not real love. You're just scared. You're scared of a commitment, or you don't trust the person, or you want to cheat, or you want to, there's something going on, financial, something is deep down that you really don't love that person. You love yourself more than the person. But when you marry, you shall have trouble, the Bible says. Now, the Bible says marriage is a good thing. But the reason marriage is a good thing is because it teaches you to love. It teaches you sacrificial love. It teaches you to try to make somebody else happy or serve somebody else on a daily basis. It's hard to do it 24/7 in a marriage, but it's easier to do it on a job because you're getting paid. You can serve people on a job because you're getting paid. But here's the thing. Marriage, job, life down here, having kids, whatever, it's all to teach you how to love one another and how to serve one another. And it also teaches you that internal battle. Is it written? Not only is it written in marriage, it's written in the skies, it's written in your heart, it's written everywhere. The flesh versus the spirit. And so you have to die daily to the flesh, to the old Adam. If it's a woman, you die daily to the old Eve. And you know you're painting a picture of what Jesus did at the cross. So every moment of every day is a picture painting the story of the cross in your marriage, in your job, in your heart, in your mind. So the flesh is really not even... It's not even night and the flesh and lies and manipulation and witchcraft. It's not even real. It's not really real. The devil's a defeated foe. He's a gaslighter. And so you notice when, let's say you're dating a Jezebel and she's got two or three men she's dating or whatever. She's trying to gaslight you to make you think you're the one. She paints her eyes. She paints her face, you know. Why does she need to paint her face? Just be normal. She paints her face. Jezebel painted her face, and she went out and she got 450 flying monkeys, right? I'm not saying makeup is a bad thing, but I'm saying if you're just painting your motive of your heart, right? Painting your face is fine, but most saved men, they don't care about makeup. They want to see the natural. They don't care about fancy jewelry and clothes. They want you in the natural. They want natural. And so... if you can hear what I'm saying, the marriage is a type of Christ in the church. Husbands, love your wives. Christ loved the church. He gave himself. So he goes out and works. Wives submit. She takes care of the house. She might know more than him. She might be more spiritual than him. But she's playing the role of the typology that's written in the story, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And so my point is this. You can see it. The woman wears the high heel. She's trying to hook the man. The man is trying to hook her with an erection to pull her up. Jesus went down. So we see Eve, she went into witchcraft and she tried to control the man. Her desire shall be to rule over him. But Adam went down with the ship, but he wasn't in the deception. He knew what was going on. But he went down with the ship anyway because he loved her to pull her up. Which is a type and a shadow of Jesus going down. He knew we couldn't make it. So whether it's the man or the woman, we're the weaker vessels compared to God. So Jesus, who is God, came down here, walked the path, and showed us how to get back to God through him by faith. Because we can't do it because we are the weaker vessels. The flesh is nothing but sin, and the flesh is nothing but weakness. So my point is, when the woman or the man or the job, the boss, the employees, everybody's playing their role, that points back to Jesus and the church. It's a universal principle. It's type and shadow. It's a typology of the whole truth. And so when you love a woman, you know there's a tendency in her to try to pull you down back to the 3D Mother Earth problems. It says she will have many sorrows, pain in childbearing, and her desire shall be to rule the husband. So the man knows that she is built into her to try to pull him down to off his upright stature. He's standing up like a post. She's trying to pull him down. Now, if she's saved and he's not saved, she's trying to pull him up. But usually when a saved man marries a saved woman, there's exponential growth in that union because the types and shadows have to hold. So a man's going to outpace a woman if they're married, most likely if they're both spirit-filled. The chances of her keeping up, I don't think at all. Because night follows day. Adam is A-D-A-M. A-D means toward, and A-M is day. So God has to do this because it's the universal story. So if you're a saved man and you marry a saved woman, you're going to grow spiritually more than her. But you have to realize, just like she's the weaker vessel, you have the weaker side. And so it's the woman's an object lesson, just like the man is an object lesson to her, that he needs to learn how to love her the right way. But the woman's an object lesson to him, that he needs to rule his flesh. But he needs to rule it with wisdom and grace and knowledge and understand that it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a growth process. Most people get in the flesh in a marriage and they fight each other and it turns into Jerry Springer because neither one of them want to die and do their role. Everybody has a role in the scroll. Everybody's acting down here according to that universal story. Doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman, both have it rough. Women probably have it more rough than men, but men have it rough too. When you lead, it's harder because you're up there alone. A lot of times you're alone. You feel alone when you're in leadership positions. Nobody understands what you're going through. But that's the story. That's what's happening. That's everything. There you go. When I go into this restaurant every day, there's a love song on. Because it's all a love story. The cross is the love story, and you're just playing it out every day. That's all.